You're going to do, put that right there. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. It is good to be back. I try to give you a whirlwind tour of where I've been in just the last 10 days. I started in North Dakota, went to Louisiana, Arkansas, Missouri. On Tuesday, I was in Minnesota. Then I went to back to Missouri, and then yesterday was Virginia. And I drove from Virginia up to here last night, and I think I have six more states the next 10 days. It's been crazy. It's been crazy. Last time I was here, I was at a NASCAR race. I was in a NASCAR race at New Hampshire. I don't get NASCAR. I have ADD. I don't get it. Vroom, vroom, vroom. I don't get it. What does NASCAR even stand for? Do you know? It's a non-athletic sport centered around rednecks. So here we go. So where have I been? I kind of told you where I've been. Where am I going? I just got booked in Alaska. I'm supposed to do four pregnancy center events across Alaska. I said, will I be entertaining Eskimos? They said, oh, we don't say Eskimo. It's not politically correct. Yeah, they're now called frozen Americans. So fun stuff. It's okay to have fun. We need to have fun because Pastor Rick gave me one of the toughest texts in all of Scripture to tackle. We're going to talk about suffering, shining in suffering. Or if I did a little creative outline, it would be advice to aliens. Because that's one of the titles God gives us, that we are aliens, we are strangers in this world. Since I was here last, I was in the Senior Olympics. I won some medals in the Senior Olympics. Don't be impressed. I meet a guy in a wheelchair and a lady with an oxygen tank. It wasn't really, it was a swimming race too. So, but yeah, if you think about it, how strong do you have to be? How do you finish? I actually lost two races by under 0.4 of a second. I didn't finish well, and that really might be one of our themes this morning, how to finish well. And now there's obstacles, and there's some tough times, and there's things that are involved. But I was told, I was at a conference recently for the XYZ generations, how differently they view the world, how they learn, how addicted they are to this thing. I didn't even know what FOMO is. You know what FOMO is? Fear of missing out, the number one fear of the Z generation, fear of missing out, and F-O-M-U, fear of messing up. That's been kind of the story of my life. FOMO, and I didn't even know this stuff, but they said kids today are very visual. They're very visual. Commercials have been shrunk down from 1 minute to 30 seconds to 15 seconds to pop-up ads. How many remember this ad? What was it advertising? Helmets? Jeans? Shoes? Crazy glue. So strong, this guy was willing to put it on his helmet, hold on, and shows that it was strong. How strong is it? How about this ad? Not only strong, but it can hold up under fire. You can take a gun and shoot it through a master lock and it would still hold. And then there's other advertisements that tell us what's in it. You don't have to guess what's in a Big Mac. Two all the beef patties, lettuce, cheese, pickle. Remember saying that faster and faster? But some ads don't want you to know. They don't want you to know. There's a secret recipe, a secret blend of 11 herbs and spices. So really, we're going to look at those three things. How strong is it? Does it hold up under fire? And what's the secret ingredient to make all that possible? That's kind of our outline today. What's in us? How tough is it? And can it stand up under fire? So another title, I couldn't come up with a great title, just Shining in Suffering, but Mission Impossible. You know, we looked at our text today as we're going to continue through, and really what Peter is asking the church that is scattered abroad and that royal priesthood, that holy nation, this new group that he's identified in verses 9 and 10, he's going to give them three jobs. Now, I love Home Depot. I'm addicted to Home Depot. I have a little wood shop, a little business. I build furniture for people in wheelchairs. And I love when you go into the paint thing. It has good, better, and best. Good, better, and best at some of the products. And today's outline might be hard, harder, and hardest. Because Peter's going to ask these new believers to do three really hard things. And now we're going to look at those this morning. But let's look at our text. We'll get a running start. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession that you, here's our purpose, you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, my beloved, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Man, that's a first step in a powerful text. So let's kind of break it down. I love when you're studying a text to look at those, the five W's and the H's, who, what, when, where, why, how. And basically the whole book of Peter, you've learned this as you're going through your series. If there's one theme, it's tough times are coming. Don't be surprised when fiery trials come in the midst of your trials. Jesus said it at the Last Supper. In this world, you will have tribulation. You don't hear that from too many TV preachers anymore. But there's a tough time. We're entering in some of the most exciting times of the church, but there are battles ahead. So we need to keep that in our perspective. What's the main character of the story? The main character is you royal priesthood, you holy nation. It's you. And I love the picture of Jason Bourne, because what was his problem? He didn't know who he was. He forgot who he was. I have a sermon when I do retreats. I have a series called The Born Again Identity. I'm so creative. The Born Again. Who are we? We are more than conquerors. We are children of God. We are heirs of the Most High. We are seated at the right hand of God. We need to know who we are and what we have. So the main character is us. What are we called to do? It was in two of the verses, verses 10 and 11. We're supposed to let our light shine. Remember that? Sunday school class, grandparents? This little light of mine. Remember that? Hide it under a bushel. No! Or don't let Satan... Okay, all right, you guys didn't go to Sunday school. Okay, some of you did. We're supposed to shine. Our purpose is to shine. And he's going to tell us, how do we shine? Where do we shine? And he's going to give us three places where we can really display the power of God in our life. But I love this, because I remember a quote when I was first saved that said, your life may be the only Bible some people ever read. Wow. Especially since I resigned my church to do this full time. My new pastor said the other week, for the first time in American church history, we are reaching out to an unchurched generation that's being raised by an unchurched generation. In 30 years, we have fallen so far from kids who knew about Noah's Ark, Daniel in the Lion's Den, some of the basics of Christianity. Kids today are totally unchurched, a vast majority of them. But another way of saying it is, as we want our life to shine, your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Say that three times. But so many people, you know, we want to say that we're Christians, and some people are even afraid to do that. But if you're going to say it, show it. And was it St. Francis de Assisi? Remember him? St. Francis de Assisi said, a witness at all times, but and if necessary, use words. Our life, how we treat our wives, how we treat our kids, how we do our job, how we respond to all the things around us should be saying something to the world. I was reading a biography, David Brainerd, and a missionary to the Indians, and he had invited some Indians to come to the church and hear a message. And afterwards, he went to the chief. Several of the tribe came, and they sat in the back, and they listened to the message. And they asked the chief, well, what did you think of the message? He said, the words were beautiful. It's a wonderful message. We will watch your church for the next 6 months and determine whether this is real. Wow. And really, that is the purpose of what Peter is getting across in this text. He wants us to demonstrate the goodness of God, to reveal the presence of God, that there's no secret ingredient. We're telling people the ingredient, the change in my life is Jesus. So he starts out, dear friends, as we start our text from last week, I'm begging you, a term of endearment, the beloved, the close things. He's going to go lay and say, I want to be honest, friends. It's tough out there. Remember the setting is either just as Nero was beginning to really persecute the Christians or maybe already in the midst. The dating is a little confused according to some of the scholars. But it's tough times. And the theme of suffering and enduring and hanging in is a key thing. And in the midst of that, Peter is saying, I'm begging you, I urge you, I plead with you, my friends, because you've seen what we've been through. There's something I want you to do. There's something I want you to do. You know, if you ever do that, parents, what do you want me to do? Sure, Dad, what do you want me to do? If someone approached you with that love and with that compassion, what do you want me to do? And then he's going to give them the hard, harder and hardest. The first thing I want you to do is stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Abstain from those sinful desires, those fleshly lusts. Some of them are mentioned earlier in the chapter. There's other scriptures and other books that talk about immorality and sexual sin and the lust of the flesh which wage war in your body. Just stop it. Nancy Reagan said it right. Just say no. But that doesn't quite work. It takes more than that. But people need to know that your life has changed. And I'll tell you what, I just had three weekends ago, my 45th high school reunion. We got to tell these young kids, things change in 45 years, don't they? Like the homecoming queen? Time has not been kind. When I got there, they said, Gordon, we see in your form you're a pastor now. Would you mind saying the blessing before the meal? I said, I'd be honored. So they said, folks, take your seat. Reverend Gordon Douglas is going to say the blessing. And one of the girls in my class yelled in a room this size, Gordon's a blankety blank pastor. He used to be the most foul-mouthed, obnoxious bum. And she went on and on screaming all the stuff that I used to say and do in high school. I was miserable in high school. It says in my yearbook, I was known for my hate stare, not best dancer, not best hair, not most likely to do anything. I was known for my hate stare. My dad was in a wheelchair most of my life. I wasn't good looking. I wasn't athletic. I wasn't a good student. I thought and wrote a paper why I wanted to end my life in high school. And to go there to this reunion and see people I haven't seen in 40 years and say, you're a pastor? What happened? And I started my prayer saying, folks, I'm not the same person. Something amazing's happened. If you'd like to know, please stop at my table. I can't wait to tell you what God's done in my life. People want to see the change. And some of it's instant, some of it's a process, and we need to understand that. But there should be a change. And the biggest change in this culture for Peter, he's starting with a hard thing. In this whole area of sexual promiscuity and in our culture with the texting and the sexting and the porn that's everywhere and the stuff and the celebrities and the movies and the commercials, just stop it. Live pure, live whole. Do something so that you're separate and different. And people say, whoa, what are you going to do? I worked at a refinery for 7 years where it was their job, their calling in life was to try to get me to go to the strip clubs in South Philly. The guys used to slip out at lunch and go to the strip clubs during lunch. And I said, Gordon, why don't you come? Why don't you come? Let's go to the bar. No. They would put Playboy centerfolds in my lunchbox and watch. When I went over to lunch, I ate by myself because I couldn't eat with some of the guys because of what they read and what they were doing. And I would open up my lunchbox and they wanted to see my reaction. They were looking for some kind of a change. So we can shine pretty bright when we stop it. And I love the text, the other text that is there. It talks about all these different sexual sins in Corinthians. And he says, and such were some of you. Such were some of you. The power of the gospel can change lives. So let's keep going. The next text tells us in 2:15, submit yourselves to every authority. I have 4 grandsons that now live with us. The other day, I tried to tell my grandson to stop doing something because his mom was not there. My wife and I were babysitting, and he said, you're not the boss of me. Stop it. I wanted to do what my dad did for me, right? You would never even dare say something like that to a parent or a grandparent or even a babysitter or a neighbor. And here's Peter. He's saying, in the midst of a culture that's not wrestling with political elections, whether it's a blue state or a red state or whether it is candidate or that, their candidate is Nero. And governors under them and corrupt leadership and people who have manipulated in the midst of this horrendous governmental system and world system, Peter says, submit to, what's that word? Every authority. And there's chapters on why and how and God institutes authority and corrupt. And it never means that we do something that God says not to do. Because Acts 4:19, remember? When I can't think of who it was now. Peter and Silas, they were being arrested. They said, don't preach that message anymore. And they said, well, you tell us whether it's better to obey God or man. If you have the choice, you have to obey God. But there's other ways when we submit and how we respond to government. How do we respond? And I know one of my prayers is just get these elections over. I can't stand these ads. I just can't stand these ads. Is there anybody good out there and the flaws that they look for? But in the midst of that, Peter says, submit. Submit to these authorities. You're going to be a witness to the whole world and the government and the community that you live by how you respond to this government. So surrender to that authority. And in fact, in verse 17, he lists four specific ways you can do it. This is something you don't see on Facebook. Show respect for even the party you disagree with, for even the personality, for even whoever's in the White House, whoever didn't get in the White House. Do you see that on any posts or any memes on Facebook where there's respect for the person or for the office that's in there and the names that they're called, the things that are said, the threats that are being made? Here's a culture where this message is going from hard, stop that sexual sin and abstain from fleshly desire. Let's make it even harder. Submit to that government that we know is evil and corrupt and dishonest and violent and not fair. Man, and not only that, we need to love the brotherhood. That's a tough one. And fear God. And in the midst of this, honor this king, the rulers that are over you. And he explains in the text, there's a lot more in the detail there of just how it's instituted by God and what we need to do. But that's a hard thing. So we want to shine. We want to shine by shutting up and stopping the things that we're doing. Our next test of the outline is the showing respect and surrendering to the authority. And now we're going to go to the hardest thing. Slaves submit. The idea of refugees. I'm listening to a book about World War II in my driving around what was done to the Jewish people. And I think of the refugees. I just spoke at International Christian School in one of the states. I spoke at two Catholic schools, a public school, and a Christian school. What International Christian School. And one third of the audience was refugees. I did not know. They didn't even speak English. Literally, they had gotten off of the boat a week or two before, and this Christian school welcomed the refugees into their community and was allowing them to come to this Christian school. And I was telling some jokes and sharing some things I want kids to know about love, sex, God, dating, kind of an overview thing I do for high schools all the time. And they were just standing there or sitting there and they're staring at me. And afterwards, the principal said, the kids loved you. I said, but they didn't even laugh. Half the audience. He said, well, they don't even speak English. I didn't know. I didn't have a chance to get that thing there. But here we are in a culture where there's so many that are going through difficult times. The school that I work at part-time is called CADES, Children and Adult with Disabilities. And two of our janitors, one comes from Iran and one comes from Vietnam. And they both fled to this country because of the oppression of evil. The one guy, Sakir, he just keeps saying, in terms of the leader of government, bad man, very bad man, very bad man. His stuff, to come here and work for several years to get the money to try to get his wife here. And then it took 8 more years to get his son here. I can't even fathom. And when it's so corrupt and they're picking on you and they're persecuting you and even killing you, Peter's saying in this culture that his was just as bad, slaves, you need to submit. Now, it's one thing if you get beaten or punished when you do something bad. You should expect that. But when you're doing the right stuff and you're working hard and you're doing the right things and it still gets hard, then you need to be willing to suffer too. That goes from hard to harder to hardest. How do we respond when things aren't fair? And yet Jesus said, right, they persecuted me, they'll persecute you also. Man, that's tough. This is a tough message. They said, well, how can we even do that? But Peter says, well, I'll give you an example. Let's look at the suffering Savior. This Jesus who, when he was reviled, reviled not. When he was persecuted, he didn't respond. When he was hanging on the cross, and he could have opened the earth and swallowed his enemies. He could have called down 10,000 angels. He could have done so many things. He was silent. He laid down his life for us. He suffered for us. And that ultimate example for us is if Jesus could do it under the most unfair trial with the unfair people, and there was ever anyone more innocent and undeserving of the treatment that he got, here's your example. You can stop sinning, and you can submit to authorities, and you can even endure persecution, even unto death. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured a cross for us. And there's an interesting word when I was going through the text. It says that you should follow. I'm not a Greek scholar. I did have Greek for like 4 years, but it's so many years ago now. But the word is hypogrammaton or something like that. But the word is to make an exact copy. And he said, Christ is leaving for you an example that you should follow. That word is that you should be just like him. You should make an exact copy. And that's why the idea of Xerox is there. Here's what we need to do. Here's how we need to follow. Because as he ends the text, he says, because you were once like sheep without a shepherd, and now this suffering shepherd gathered you to himself. Because he's cared for you. You were once lost, now you are found. You were once against, and now you're forgiven. All these things, he's reminding them who they are at the beginning of the text and where they've come from at the end of the text. But the whole point of the whole passage is to shine. Because there's a world out there looking to see, is there something real? Is there something real that happened to you? What is changing in your life? How are you responding when things aren't fair? How are you going to go through that? It's tough stuff. It's really tough stuff. So going back to our three commercials, what is in you? If Christ is in me, my hope of glory, the Spirit who raised Christ from the dead now lives in you. How tough is it? How strong are you in your faith? It's a process. We're growing. But the main question, can it hold up under fire? You know, that's where we are. We're warned that in the last days, things. I believe the best days of the church are still ahead. I'm thrilled at the growth. Each time I come, there's new stuff. There's exciting stuff in the church. But realize, we're also in a battle, and some of the biggest battles still lie ahead. Don't think it's because you did something wrong. Maybe it's because you did something right. And in the midst of this, Lord, you know, I was thinking a closing line is this is going to be my closing line. If I must suffer, let me shine. I said that to my daughter yesterday. I kind of was going through my message with my daughter. I said, if I have to suffer, I don't want to ask for suffering. I'm not going to ask for it. But Lord, if I must suffer, let me shine. Make something good come out of it. So here it is. The situation and the setting couldn't have been any tougher for Peter and his audience. It begins with knowing who we are, that royal priesthood, a holy nation, not just those that are listed there, but there's a whole lot of titles for us as believers. And I love that, more than conquerors, more than conquerors, more than conquerors. So let your life shine. May that those who are trash talking against you, your accusers, those who persecute you. Oh, there's my alarm. I'm not used to 28 minutes. My introductions are usually 28 minutes. Okay. Shine, shine, shine. We need to shine. And when we do, we will shut up our enemies. They can accuse us of lying and do stuff, but when they see the difference in our life, what can they say? So we need to ask God, help us to stop it. Give us the grace to surrender and submit, and even in the most difficult of all circumstances. And I can't, and really, here's the secret, because we go back to KFC, so I'm bringing this back, KFC. What's the secret ingredient? You can conquer any sin. You can submit with respect to any authority or any master, no matter how good or bad. You can fulfill your calling if you have the secret ingredient. What is that secret ingredient? I love this quote. It's not merely difficult to live the Christian life in your own power. It's impossible. What Peter's asking you to do is impossible. It's mission impossible apart from the Spirit of God. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. But I can do it, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you realize the Spirit of God is in you, and you are filled and controlled and yielded to His Spirit, you can shine bright in this dark world. So here's our action steps. Lord, we're praying. I desire that others will see Jesus in me. I pray that I will be a light to those in my circle of influence. Recognize there are people watching, your neighbors, your family members. And oh my goodness, when I first got saved, my dad and I hadn't spoken for 15 years. I don't have time to go into that story. But I told him I'm a Christian. I came back. I repented. I got right with God. And about a week or so afterwards, something happened and some profanity slipped out of my mouth. He said, oh, is that how a Christian talks? I've been saved a week. But I had told him and many others, I got saved last week. I got saved. And I didn't realize, wow, they're looking to see if it changed. And boy, God brought some changes. But how are we going to do it? In our suffering, if you must suffer, respond like Jesus. Pray that you will depend on the Holy Spirit to respond. So let's pray for that as the band comes up. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. that you have made this possible. You've given us instructions. You've warned us, so we shouldn't be surprised when things get hard. But Lord, help us to fulfill this calling. For this we have been called, that we can follow in your footsteps as we learn and grow and stop some of the sinful patterns in our life. As we respond to those in authority over us, whether it be a boss, a teacher, a coach, or a government. And Lord, even some of those who are wicked, that somehow you've placed in our life, may we respond with your love and grace. But Lord, we know we can't do it unless you give us the strength. So fill us with your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.